Atlanta. Hey, how are you, folks? This is Jason Horowitz of Westwood One. Join Ryan Radke and Dan Dicka live from Spokane for all the action. Can the Bulldogs avenge last year's regular season loss to the Tar Heels, or will North Carolina travel cross-country and pull off an upset? Tune in to find out. If it's NCAA basketball, it's right here.
College basketball, North Carolina at Gonzaga tonight at 7:45 on KGYM. 3:02, we welcome you to the gym class, a special edition of the gym class coming your way on this Wednesday right here on KGYM. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Today on the program, we look back at the life and times and the legacy of John Hayden Fry, the former head football coach of the University of Iowa, who passed away last night at the age of 90 from cancer. And we will talk with two of his former players. We will also talk with a former media member and get your thoughts about it as well on the Hertina Stocker Jeweler text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600 as we look back and celebrate the life and times of a legend. Good afternoon, Scott Unash, along with Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette and a man who covered many of the games that Hayden Fry coached in his long tenure here at the University of Iowa. And, Mark, it's a melancholy day, certainly today. It's one of those days where you knew that something, you know, we're all human. It's all inevitable that passings happen. We knew Hayden was not in great health. And got the word last night. You let me know when I was at the basketball game. We got things rolling. And it's a sad, sad occasion, but it's also an occasion to look back on quite not only a football coach of great significance, but also a gentleman whose life was a lot more than football and who brought so many things to the state of Iowa and the University of Iowa.
Yeah, we had gotten word in the last 48 hours that Hayden had entered hospice and was not doing well, which set off in motion some ideas in this on this radio station about what we might do should he pass. And hasten to say, it happened pretty quickly in that regard. And you know, I've thought a lot about Hayden Fry in the last, since last night when I first heard about it. I was privileged enough to get the Iowa football beat in 1981 full-time. I had covered a couple games before then and then was the beat guy throughout much of the 80s until 88 or 89. And those, as you know out there, were tremendous years. It was fortuitous for me and for the Iowa Hawkeye football program, and good to see many of the great games in Iowa history and cover them. And in terms of Hayden Fry, I mean, he's the type of guy who may not be larger than life, but pretty close to it in these parts. The best description I can give, and it may not be original, is that he changed the culture of Iowa football and much of Iowa athletics, not only with play on the field, but changing uniforms, changing the logo. The America Needs Farmers stickers. I remember his wit, the hokey pokey, the pink locker rooms, all those sorts of things that he brought to the program. But I hasten to say that none of it would have worked if he hadn't won.
Very true. Very true. But he was a winner, not only at Iowa, but also at his previous stops of SMU and North Texas. Really, North Texas, the 2 years he was in Denton, Texas, prior to coming to Iowa City and Bump Elliott hiring Hayden Fry. And Hayden Fry probably would not be, we wouldn't even be talking about this today if North Texas had made bowl games in 77 and 78, when they won 9 and 10 games respectively. Hayden was not happy that they were not given a bowl invitation. And Bump Elliott saw that, took the time to talk to Hayden Fry, said, you know what? We're going to give you the opportunity. We're going to give you the resources, and we're going to bring you up to Iowa City to try to awaken a sleeping giant. I watched the news conference, the introductory news conference, a couple times today that Hayden Fry had back, December the 10th, 1978. And by the way, $45,000 was his salary in the first year. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. But Bump Elliott gave him the promise, assured him that he will have the resources to get this program to where it should be. And he did that.
I think that's very much what attracted Hayden Fry. He was not happy that, of course, the Bulls situation was much different back in the late 70s. Not nearly as many. But he was chapped that North Texas had been overlooked in a 9-win season and didn't get a bowl. And whatever Bump Elliott saw in Hayden Fry, and you know this, Scott, and when you hire someone, there's got to be a chemistry there. There's got to be an understanding, a common thread between the two of you. And Bump Elliott saw that. And you have to remember that the late Bump Elliott was on his third hire as the athletic director at Iowa.
He had already hit a home run.
He had strike two. He was deep in the count because he had hired Frank Lauterbur and Bob Cummings. Cummings had his moments. Lauterbur had a hard time winning a game. So this was really an extremely important hire for Bump Elliott. And I think he said at one time that this is going to be his last hire.
One way or another
as a football coach. And the two developed a terrific marriage, and Bump Elliott and the administration followed through with such things as the bubble and improvements to the stadium, improvements to the facility, and all these things became easier as Fry and the teams won more and more.
Your thoughts are welcome here. We're going to have guests coming up. We're going to talk with a couple of former players. Gordy Bohannon's going to be joining us here in about 6-7 minutes. Also going to talk with Bill Happel, and we'll also be talking with John Campbell as well, get their thoughts about Coach Fry, their remembrances of the Iowa football coach. At one time, the winningest football coach before Kirk Ferentz passed up his mentor. By the way, Kirk Ferentz, with a news conference earlier today, before heading off to San Diego, an emotional Kirk Ferentz today talking about how many, you know, everything, all the aspects as far as Hayden Fry is concerned. And have audio from that during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn coming up a little bit later on. If you would like to comment or just give us your thoughts about it, love to hear it at the Hertina Stocker Jeweler text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600.
We do have a poll question today in regards to Hayden Fry. You can access it at kgymradio.com, and it's brought to you by Emo's Hideaway, which, by the way, is where I was when I got the news about Hayden Fry. How will you most remember him? Number one, ended the streak of losing seasons and made the Rose Bowl. Secondly, his wit and one-liners. Thirdly, the coaching tree that he developed. Lastly, drew attention to farmers with the ANF sticker. Probably could have added a couple more things there, but those are the four choices. Go ahead and vote at kgymradio.com.
Indeed, indeed. And like I said, text line open to you right now. And we're going to start things off talking with Gordy Bohannon here in just a couple of moments. Our friend Eugene wants to weigh in here at 3:11 on this Wednesday, very special edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. We'll be followed with Todd and Alex on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, giving their thoughts and talking about the late, great Hayden Fry as well. But Eugene, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I want to tell you a little story. I was at a football practice with a bunch of guys I taught with, and, you know, here comes Hayden, shakes the hands of everybody, gets to me, slaps his arm around my shoulder and says, "Son, you're big enough and ugly enough. You don't have any eligibility left, do you?" I thought they were going to have to get me off the ground. I was laughing so hard, but I was so honored that he picked me out to pick on me, you know, to poke a little fun at me. And what I'll remember out of Hayden is just his ability to get the best out of his players. You know, he didn't have a whole lot of real flashy players. I know he had Larry Station and Chuck Long, but he sure was able to fill guys in around those guys to make a great team. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Eugene. That's one of many great stories out there. Number one, Fry had a unbelievable memory. He could see you 5 years later and still remember your name.
Absolutely.
And be genuine about it. But Eugene's point about having an eye for talent, Fry very much had that. I point to his coaching staff. I mean, he hired Kirk Ferentz in his 20s as a grad assistant, and everybody I remember at the time said, what?
Who's this guy?
Yeah, who's this guy? It turned out pretty good for Kirk.
Same thing with Barry Alvarez, too, hired out of Mason City High School.
Yeah, just won a state championship at Mason City. And Fry saw something in him. And those coaches were very loyal. They stayed around quite some time. And then the players, you know, with Bernie Wyatt, Bernie would go into the East, the New York and New Jersey area, and pluck guys like the Harmons and whatnot. And then they go to Ohio and get some players. But Fry, Chuck Long's a prime example. Lightly recruited, hardly recruited out of Wheaton, Illinois. And during his freshman year, Fry said Long was destined for greatness.
Yeah, he could see it. And he was the master psychologist.
Really?
Well, he was the master psychologist. I think he made people better than
they
were.
And he brought Rob Hodlin in as a walk-on.
Another guy from the
Chicago
area.
He's our guy. He's going to be our kicker.
Yeah.
Did pretty well.
Darren on the text line, I got the privilege of meeting the man 4 times, even rode with him back from Las Vegas on an airplane. He would always shake your hand, always strike up conversations about football or whatever else you wanted to talk about. Never shied away from anybody's question. A great man for Iowa. He sometimes questioned questions.
He did on a couple occasions, yes.
We're going to take a break, but let's get Tim in first before we take our first break and bring in our first guest. Tim, good afternoon.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're good,
Tim.
Just a quick comment to Mark. You might have been there, but with the whole trusting the process thing with Matt Campbell, the press conference that Hayden had where he lost his mind when everybody had that close loss, I can't remember if it was Penn State or Nebraska, Iowa, it came so close to beating that team. They were ranked number, in the top 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody was really happy about it. It was like almost a celebration in the press conference. And Hayden got mad. And thought maybe you might have been there if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. You're so right. The 79 season, Hayden Fry's first, began with a loss to Indiana in which the Hawks led big at halftime.
26-3 at half to Lee Corso's Hoosiers and lost 30-26.
Mario Pace still lives in infamy, the defensive back who got beat on the winning touchdown. But the next 2 weeks were Oklahoma and Nebraska. And Iowa played both teams very tough. And I remember it was the Oklahoma or Nebraska game.
It was Oklahoma.
Tim. It might have been Oklahoma where, you know, you guys slap, go ahead and slap the players' backs, but if I ever catch one of you saying, you know, you
or
played
smiling.
A close game or smiling, I'm going to slap you or something like that. The point was being competitive wasn't going to be good enough for Hayden Fry. And, yeah, that happened in 79.
1446 on the text line in regards to the poll question. Fellas, I would say all of the above and so many other answers that made him legendary. 316, we're going to take a break, come back. Former Hawkeye quarterback Gordy Bohannon from the first Rose Bowl team. He lives in here in town. You may have heard of him and his sons. He is going to join us coming up next. So stay with us. More on the gym class coming up as we remember the late, great Hayden Fry on this Wednesday here on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years, with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Great gift ideas come from Iowa Book, with one-of-a-kind gifts from your one-of-a-kind bookstore. This season, give a t-shirt or sweatshirt with your own design or photo. Or choose from the dozens of university-approved Hawkeye designs. Iowa Book's custom shirt department. This year's most popular sweatshirt has a print with Iowa Grandma over a tiger hawk. Iowa Book, downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Back with you on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Our thanks to Kurt Gustafson of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. We usually have Mark Ironside on Wednesdays. We let Mark and Chris List both know that we had what happened, and they were very much in agreement that they would sit out this week so that we could talk about Hayden Fry and get remembrances of the former Hawkeye coach. So thanks to both Kurt as well as I'm on Communications for Chris List of rotowire.com. If you do have a fantasy football question, the 6 o'clock hour, Todd and Alex are going to be talking with Tristan Cockcroft. We remember Hayden Fry, who passed away, of course, last night at the age of 90. And Mark, we're going to bring in our first guest to talk about the life and times of Coach Fry, and that is former quarterback from the 1982 Rose Bowl, and that is Gordy Bohannon, who joins us here to talk about Coach Fry. And Gordy, thanks, appreciate it, and not a great subject to talk about, but a great man to talk about, isn't it?
He definitely changed a lot of lives, as we'll talk about, I'm sure, in the next few minutes.
Gordy probably changed your life. How did he pluck you out of the California junior college ranks, and what did you see in him?
Well, I saw someone who cared about me as a human being and as a person, who wanted me to grow up into a person that could be productive in society, and really cared about me first as an individual and second as a player. I always remember him. First of all, he's one of the few coaches that did believe in me and offered me a scholarship at that level. But I always remember coming into Iowa. I was a junior college transfer, so I was late to the campus, and I really wanted to get accustomed to the play system. And I asked for the playbook, and he says, "I want you to read this book first. It's called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale." And I didn't understand what he was doing. He said, "Gordy, I want to work on your insides first and help you develop as a young man, and then you can learn all the X's and O's." And that just made a huge impact on me, and that he really cared about me becoming a better person as well as a better player.
Wow. Well, and I would imagine a lot of people didn't know that. And that's a part of the psychological aspect as far as Coach Fry was concerned. There was much more than the X's and the O's that made up Coach Fry.
It was. I also remember being recruited by many, not a lot of coaches. I wasn't that great of a recruit for a lot of coaches, but a lot of them would all say the right things, and they would always be nice to us, the players, the potential recruits. But then we would get around the community, and so a lot of those coaches didn't treat those waitresses or other business owners maybe with the same respect. And what I always caught on with Coach Fry at just a young age was he would make the waitress that was serving us food make her feel like she owned the place and she was worth $1 million, and he would remember names. And so he wasn't just that way with us. He was that way with everyone. And that that also made a huge impact on me as a young man.
Gordy, if you will, take us back to November of 1981, Iowa hosting number 19 Michigan State. It was a very convincing victory for Iowa, but you guys needed help that day to get to the Rose Bowl. I was at the stadium that day, and you were on the field. Tell us about that and the post game.
Well, leading up to that, one of the first things that Coach Rice sold us on when he recruited myself and Keith Chappelle from Southern California was he sold us on us going to the Rose Bowl and winning the Big Ten championship. What we found out later is he didn't tell us that they had not had a winning season in over 20 years. But, you know, that was Coach Fry. He sold you where they were going, not where they were at or where they'd been. And one of the things that we did together, again, Coach being a psychologist and so forth, he would help us set goals. And one of the goals that we had as a team was to get to the Rose Bowl. And one of my personal goals was to go back to my hometown in Pasadena and be a Rose Bowl quarterback. And he would have us visualize that, and he'd just always say, put down what you want, when you want it to happen, and how you're going to get there. And I used to visualize, with his help and guidance, my picture in the paper of being the Rose Bowl quarterback and us winning the Big Ten championship. So when you talk about that Michigan State game, and yes, we needed some help, and all of a sudden the roses started coming out of the stands, it was so unbelievable because it's like we'd already been there so many times because we had pictured it. And I had pictured in my mind so many times over that it was almost like it wasn't as exciting as I thought it should be because I'd been there so many times in my mind. It's funny, I'm sitting in my office right now and I have a picture of myself. Someone just dropped it off today of me holding a rose in my mouth in Des Moines Register saying Hawks the Rose Bowl. It was almost identical to what we visualized for so many months. So it was just an unbelievable time. And one of the things that Coach Fry will go down on in history is that he not only developed great players, but he also developed a legacy of people that went on to be great head coaches and went on to be professional athletes, or even myself, who didn't go on to play pro ball, but we went on to have a great family life and a great business and all the things that we learned in that locker room and in our chalk talks actually carried over into our real life. So that was a special time in November of 81. And as you know, what happened was all of a sudden everyone's belief level got higher, and then you saw what happened in the 80s with Chuck Long and the rest of them, where they just carried that legacy on even further.
Well, I'm going to ask Bill Happel the same thing, Gordy, and I think probably one of Hayden's great regrets was not winning a Rose Bowl, and it was 28-0 that January against Washington. A lot of people said you're just happy to be there, but I doubt that was the case.
Well, one of the things that Coach Fry talked about this afterwards is, and you got to be careful about what you wish for and what you dream about because it will happen. We dreamed about winning the Big Ten and getting to the Rose Bowl. We never talked about winning the Rose Bowl. And so I really feel like we didn't set our goals high enough. But a lot of people were laughing at our goals back then because they thought that was unrealistic. So, yeah, they learned from it, and that's why they took the program to the bigger level, higher level, because all of a sudden they realized there is no limit to what you could achieve if you have a bunch of people that believe in it and you have a leader like the coaches that we had that helped instill that in us.
Gordy Bohannon joining us here at 325 as we remember the life and times of Coach Hayden Fry here today on the Gym Class. So many firsts that year, 1981, beating Purdue. Iowa hadn't beaten Purdue, 20 straight games. Iowa hadn't had a winning season.
Start with that season opener,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, the season opener against Nebraska. Man alive, the 10-7 victory back in early September at Kinnick Stadium. And that had to instill a lot of confidence, not only in you, your teammates, but just everybody around the Hawkeye football team.
Well, it did. We were talking to some other reporters earlier today, and they were asking me about what we remembered most about Coach Fry in the early days. And if you remember back, they used to call him the Exotics. Mm-hmm. And we would do so many trick plays. Back then, we would have the tight end stand up, or we'd have a spread formation. Or one of my favorites is they called it the Bohannon Cannon when I went out under the center, and then we went into the shotgun formation. And back in those days, that was just unheard of. And Coach Fry would have so much fun with us. He says, now, Bohannon, you know why we're putting you in the shotgun, don't you? because you're really slow and we need to buy you a couple more seconds so you can read the defense. So he would have fun with us in the exotics. He would tell the team, he says, you guys, you're not that good yet. You will be in time, but right now we need to trick them. And we had a lot of fun, but the exotics and the things that he brought to the game, you know, on the field and off the field, you know, changed the game forever, as you know.
Yeah, it did. And you were in a unique situation. It was kind of a dual quarterback deal in 81 with you and Pete Gayles. And so many of the names that you kind of put together with Iowa football lore were on that team, but were kind of youngsters there. You had John Alt, you had Mark Bortz in there, yourself, Owen Gill, Norm Granger, Joel Hilgenberg, people like that. And just a great bunch of guys I know, and I would imagine great, great teammates too.
Yeah, Bobby Stoops also was there as well. I mean, they just, you look at the teammates that we had, and what happened to them after the fact was amazing. But more importantly, look at all the coaches that he developed, and head coaches and professional. I mean, a lot of coaches have success, and a lot of coaches have passed away, and they had a lot of success. But Coach Fry has passed away being successful, which means he had developed a bunch of successful people underneath him. And that's what he always wanted to do was, yeah, he had a big ego like the rest of us, but his ultimate goal was to help each and every individual player and coach get to the next level and be the best they could be. And that's his legacy, is how many successful business people and football players and coaches and families like my own that he has had an impact. And I don't know if you saw my son Jordan, who plays at Iowa now, and he had something on Twitter. I don't do social media, but he said, Dad, if it wasn't for Coach Fry selling you on the dream of getting to Iowa, you would have never got to Iowa. You would never met Mom, and none of our Bohannon boys would have been born. And so there's a ripple effect that Coach Fry is going to have that's going to go on for a long, long time. And that's what I'm most proud of, is to be a part of not just Coach Fry, but the success that he's had all the way down the line of the people he's touched.
No doubt, no doubt, and very well put right there. And hey, Gordy, appreciate it, and it's always great to talk about Coach Fry, and he will not be forgotten, certainly. And also, best of luck to Jordan coming up with the surgery tomorrow. Hope everything goes really well.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you. Gordy Bohannon, quarterback from the 1981 Hawkeye football team, joining us here on the Gym Class at 3:29 here on KGYM.
It's interesting stuff, things that I had never heard before about the visualization and whatnot. And, I mean, it did come true, but then didn't set the goals high enough and got waxed by Washington.
Getting the book.
The Rose Bowl. Yeah.
Getting the book right there. That was, I did not know that. About having the book about that
the Bohannon Cannon.
The Bohannon Cannon. Going to have to discuss that with Zach at the next broadcast on Friday. Going to take a break, come back, and Bill Happel will join us. Bill, former wide receiver, former Cedar Rapids, Washington product, member of the 1986 Rose Bowl team. And we'll talk with Bill when we come back here on KGYM.
Great gift ideas come from Iowa Book, with one-of-a-kind gifts from your one-of-a-kind bookstore. This season, give a t-shirt or sweatshirt with your own design or photo. Or choose from the dozens of university-approved Hawkeye designs. Iowa Book's custom shirt department. This year's most popular sweatshirt has a print with Iowa Grandma over a tiger hawk. Iowa Book, downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply. Absolutely free. Call 1-800-394-5784. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-394-5784. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-394-5784. 1-800-394-5784.
In search of a battery that won't let you down, even in the lowest temperatures? We've got you covered at America's number one battery destination. At AutoZone, we have the proven tough Duralast batteries you need to drive with peace of mind this winter. They're tested in extreme conditions, which means you can count on them to deliver when you need them most. Stop in today or visit AutoZone.com, and we'll help you find the start you're looking for.
Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, Car Care Track 12 months ending December 2018. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Lowe's helps pros like you get the job done right, on time and on budget, because we stock the brands you trust to power through any job, and at savings too. Stop in today and pick up a DeWalt Tough Grip 110-piece screwdriver bit set for $28 less, now just $21.98. And get a Pazload cordless framing nailer for $100 less, now $2.99. Save time by ordering at lowesforpros.com and have your order delivered. For the brands you rely on every day to do the job right, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid 12/19 to 12/24 U.S. only.
You know what dropping temperatures mean? That hockey and basketball seasons are starting. And that it's time to make sure your car's engine is extra protected. So go with Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil. The first motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. It can't, however, protect your team's place in the standings. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Back on the gym class at 3:33 here on KGYM. Our thanks to Gordy Bohannon for joining us. John Campbell going to join us as well. You can get your remembrances of Coach Hayden Fry at 319-366-1600. And we're going to go talk with Bill Happel, the former Washington Warrior from Cedar Rapids, a member of perhaps the most famous Iowa football team of all time. What would you think, Mark? Was the 85 team... I still think the 85 team was the most famous team in Iowa football history.
Certainly in the modern era. Remember the 56 and 58 teams won the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was hardly...
more television around in 1985. No replay because Halverson would have been given credit for that catch in the back of the end zone against Michigan. no doubt about that. But Bill Happel joining us here on the program today. And Billy, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Bill, take us back to the beginning when you were a prep at Washington. Iowa came calling. I'm sure with your background, your dad and whatnot, you had followed the Hawkeyes and a big Hawkeye fan. But what about Hayden Fry, that I'm going to buy into this guy?
Well, you know, first, you're right. Growing up, you know, following Hawkeye football basically through the 70s and didn't see a lot of wins. But I enjoyed listening to Gordy because that's when I remember that season like it was yesterday when I was a senior in the stands and watching those games, you know, UCLA and Nebraska, and it's the loudest I'd heard Kinnick for sure up until that point. And it was just an exciting time to be a Hawkeye. And with Coach, I didn't know him well, obviously, and quite honestly, when I was at Wash, I never really – it's kind of a pipe dream to think I could play at Iowa and until they finally called during my senior year. And he was kind of larger than life even at that point. Just because he had that aura about him that, you know, everyone talks about when he came in from Texas. So he was a little intimidating at first, to be very honest with you.
Well, and it was a different time, Bill, in the early 80s. When, you know, recruiting now, if a coach is at your school, whatever. But it went around town like wildfire. Hayden Fry's in town. He's over at Wash. Yeah. He's talking to, you know, so-and-so. That was big news back then.
Yeah, it was always, you know, when a coach came to school, particularly Hayden Fry, I'd hear about it. I remember being at basketball practice once, and they said, "Hey, Hayden Fry's down at the talking to Coach Sheets," you know, and here I was across the school, you know, and word did get around pretty quick.
I'm gonna get into the media career, Bill. I want to go back to '84, a team that I think was very underrated. You lost two or three close games and had a tie, but you ended up in the Freedom Bowl against Texas, and you caught a touchdown pass in that game, had a nice game, and it really was a springboard, I think, to 85, but the fact that Hayden Fry was going to play Texas Tell us about what he might have imparted in that regard.
Well, yeah, what I remember is we all knew it was important to Coach Fry being from Texas. And, you know, Texas was always the top dog down there, and he had to deal with that at SMU in North Texas. And I knew – we all knew it was important to him. But that was really the first time that he discussed his years down there with the team. I remember him talking about Jerry Levias and how important that was for him at SMU to break the color barrier down there. And the Texas people kind of looked down their nose at him for doing that. So I just remember him talking about his days down there, because we really hadn't heard about much about his background. We knew he was from Texas, and that was about it. So that came out the week before the game. He talked a lot about that, but really just beating Texas. It was really a springboard, because that junior year, or the year of 84, we had so many close misses. And having that game go the way it did and really pound Texas the way we did, I think it partly influenced Chuck's decision to come back, because he had a decision to make. And we had about 14 seniors then coming back to start in 85. So we've felt pretty confident at the way we finished the 84 season as we went into 85.
Bill Happel joining us here at 3:38 on the Gym Class on this Wednesday as we remember Coach Hayden Fry today. And we kind of put things in chronological order with Gordy and then having you follow him, because Gordy was there at the beginning when Hayden was putting things together. You could say that you were there during the golden age as far as Hayden Fry is concerned. And he brought in the guys that Gordy talked about, went to the East Coast, brought in the Harmons, brought in people like that, and then mixed them with kids from Iowa. He said, and it still goes today, he tries to recruit the best players out of Iowa, keep them here, and then put other people from around the country along with them. But you could see how the culture was changing when you got to the mid-80s there, I'm sure, on the football team.
Yeah, you know, like I said, 81 was such a foundational team for Hayden's program. They really kind of set the bar up for us, and then we'd continue to try to jump that bar. And the thing that I remember when I got there, you know, there was just so much talent, you know, kid from Cedar Rapids, and looking around at these guys from New York and the athletes that were, you know, Owen Gill and Eddie Phillips and Ronnie Harmon and go on down the list. You know, Mark Bortz was a man child. And so just seeing these athletes, I remember thinking, you know, I'm never going to play here. And I'm just going to sit in the background for 4 years. And the one thing Coach Fry really did, he pulled me up to second team that right before the first game, and I didn't know what I was doing, but he would talk to me like he had all the confidence in the world. And I remember him pulling me aside and saying, you know, we brought you up because we've got confidence in you. And so I think, and I heard Gordy kind of say the same thing, he instilled confidence in guys that you know, allowed us to do things that, you know, greater than we even thought we could do. And he did that with each and every guy on the team.
1985, Bill, of course, it was a season in which you beat the number two team in the country, occupied number one in the country for 5-6 weeks, that lost to Ohio State, but it ended up in the Rose Bowl, and I really think Hayden thought this was his best shot to win a Rose Bowl. And I asked Gordy the same thing. I think that probably Hayden Fry's one regret, or one of his regrets, is not winning the Rose Bowl. Tell us what you thought happened in that game and what Hayden Fry's message was after the game.
Well, I think all of us, it's probably all of our biggest regrets is not winning one. We wanted to win one for him. And we really did feel we had a good shot. And, you know, I know there's been a lot of controversy, and I don't know, you know, what really happened. I do remember Ronnie one time dropped the ball, and I remember thinking, did anyone knock it away from him or whatever? And we watched the film, and what happened in slow motion was a UCLA guy had gone, shrugged off his back, and his foot had come up and popped the ball out. But you didn't really see it in real time. So, you know, it was tough because, you know, we only punted one time that game. Mm-hmm. And It was just we felt like we could move it on him, but the turnovers, you know, kept turning us around. So I don't remember, to be honest, Coach Fry, what his talk was after the game. I just know that we all felt bad, but we talked about, I remember talking to Chuck Long about it. You know, we really just felt bad for him because, that would have been his crowning achievement. And, with the season that we had, like you said, being ranked number one, we were a confident group and we felt going into that game, we were going to win. And so we were all felt bad because of that.
You did have a touchdown pass reception in that game, and they can't take that away from you, Bill.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, I, being an Iowa kid and just making it to the Rose Bowl and having the experience of the touchdown and everything else, when I was done with that game, I felt pretty complete. I wish we'd have won, but I could look back and be really happy with what had gone on those 4 years that I was there. I was very fortunate. As Gordy said, the coaching staff that was around us was fantastic. The guys were there, you know, in the mid-80s were great. And I always thought that 85 team, again, you know, we tried to raise that bar. And I think that the legacy was after the mid-80s that Iowa could play with anybody and wouldn't fear anybody. So I felt good about that after the Rose Bowl's over.
Yeah.
Well, and the one thing, I think Coach Fry was ahead of his time as far as everything that he did, whether it be marketing, whether it be psychology, whether certainly as far as coaching is concerned, and with all the coaches that he put into college football that are now the winningest coaches at their places. But did you know you were kind of working with the guy who would be looked at today or even a couple years ago or in the future as a guy that kind of be a pioneer as far as college football is concerned?
You know, not really at the time because, you know, we didn't know anything else. You know, we were just following our Pied Piper, so to speak. And the other coaches, you know, Coach Snyder, I love the man and he was a real taskmaster, as was Coach Fry. I had no idea what Coach Snyder would go on to do and Bob Stoops and Barry Alvarez and Dan McCarney and the rest of them. And Coach Ferentz, of course, but, when you're in the middle of it, you just don't realize it. But you did know that Coach Fry was ahead of his time. His offense schemes, the other things that he did, the A&S sticker, I was a senior when he came to us and said, we want to do this for the farmers. And as an Iowa boy, I remember my first thought was, oh, you know, we're already stereotyped as farmers. Now they're really going to stereotype us. And I quickly came to realize how important that was for the state and what a great symbol it is of support between the football team and the state of Iowa.
Real quick, Bill, we're going to bring John Campbell in here. But I know you were in Dallas with a bunch of other former players to celebrate Hayden's 90th birthday not so long ago.
Yep.
What about that?
It was really special. We went down last April, and there was over 40 guys that flew in from all over the country on their own dime, really just to spend a couple hours with him. You know, Coach was – his health was failing a little bit then. He was sharp as a tack still, but he's a little frail. But we got to spend an afternoon with him. Coach Fry kept remarking he just couldn't believe that all these guys would come there to see him. And we kept telling him that, you know, we wouldn't be anywhere else. And we all kind of knew that this might be the last time. And so it was a lot of heartwarming things were said by Coach Fry and by the other guys. Coach McCarney and Bob Stoops gave some really good speeches. It was one of those times where you felt there was some finality to it. But until it actually happens like yesterday, you never really are ready for it.
No, and a lot of great memories, I know, with you and your teammates, and I'm sure you've been in contact with those guys today, too.
Yeah, a lot of texting going on back and forth for the last 24 hours, but everyone's kind of got the same feeling. From guys from 1979 to 1998, I said it yesterday, that, you know, they all love the man, and I think that's a measure of his success is the people that he led, that they all love him.
Indeed. And well, Bill, thanks for the memories. Appreciate it. And it was great talking about Coach Fry with you, and we do appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks a bunch, guys. Take care.
All right. Bill Happel, former Hawkeye, former Washington Warrior on that 1986 Rose Bowl team, joining us here today. We'll take a break, come back, and one of our colleagues from the media world will join us, Sideline Freddy, John Campbell, to talk about Hayden Fry when we come back.
Your life is full, with good friends and family topping the list. Create an even more welcoming space for them this holiday season with elegant cabinetry from Decora. Meticulously handcrafted, solid hardwood, custom milled cabinets. Whether you envision a gleaming new kitchen, impressive entry, or updated entertaining area, Decora has discriminating details at an approachable budget. Consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Back with you on the special edition of the Gym Class here at 349 on KGYM, and we will give you an update on what happens on the lanes tonight. Thanks to May City Bowl, and we'll have a preview, or I should say a wrap-up coming your way tomorrow here on KGYM. Also coming up tomorrow, first half of the show, we're going to talk more about Hayden Fry, get your remembrances, talk a little bit about our thoughts about Hayden, but we wanted to get a lot of our guests' thoughts about Hayden today, and another member of the media doesn't have the poison pen like you had, Mark, but we still remember that. 1988, I believe it was, wasn't it?
That incident, yeah. Yeah.
John never got yelled at, I don't think, by Hayden Fry. John Campbell of TV9 joining us right now. And John, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. I know you got a lot going on. You guys had a great show last night. Took that in, you and Scott. So kudos to you guys out there. But just a wonderful man we're remembering today.
Indeed, and I've decided it's a somber, sober day. But let's celebrate this man because he was such a great gentleman, such a great coach, and you know he meant so much. Earlier in the day, we were down in Iowa City doing some Christmas shopping. I looked around, saw all those Tiger Hawks and the sweatshirts. And, I mean, that was Hayden Fry. I mean, without him, we wouldn't have the Tiger Hawk all over the place. We wouldn't have the pink locker rooms. We wouldn't have a lot of things. We wouldn't have had winning football, possibly. So what he did cannot be overstated, I don't think.
I will tell you this, Scott. John, and you know this, John Campbell wasn't afraid to ask a tough question to Hayden Fry. And there came times you needed to, right, John?
Yeah, absolutely. And if it was a fair question, even if it was a hard question, he would answer it. He just didn't like some things that, you know, came out of left field, or he didn't want you snooping around a whole lot. Let me put it that way. I was shocked when I came down here from Green Bay. We'd always shot the Packer practices every day, and I came down here and Hayden announced, you know, that all the practices were closed. So he closed things off. But I think he was pretty good with the media overall, but there were some times that he got heated. And earlier today I was telling another group of fellows about the
the famous 7 or 8 minute news conference that he had once. That was kind of an interesting day.
Well, you know what, though? In this day and age, how much fun would Hayden be in 2019 if we can bring him back at his prime? Because he would be Mike Leach plus another Mike Leach. I mean, this guy would be gold for people to be covering out there. Because every Tuesday at a news conference, and Mark knows this, and I got in on the end of it as far as Hayden was concerned, but it was must-see television.
Absolutely. And we'd come back, you know, maybe with an hour's worth of tape, 45 minutes, and we'd be sitting in an edit bay going through it and listening for the bites we wanted to use. And we'd have half the newsroom standing in the edit bay with us. They just wanted to hear what Hayden possibly said that day, because usually there were two or three real nuggets in there. And he could put it so well using some of his Texas slang. I remember one time he said, "My coaches are going to have to back up to the pay window this week." And he was upset after a loss. And, you know, he had his own way of saying things, and it was great.
Yeah, John, we shared a lot of plane trips together on the road covering Iowa, and it was so much great fun. I felt, you know, privileged to be part of some of those great, great games, and I know you did too.
Exactly. And, you know, Mark, back in those days, I remember that we'd get on those small planes on Saturday morning and fly to Columbus or Ann Arbor. And back in those days, I mean, you knew the Hawks had a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
There was no doubt about it. So it was exciting to be a part of those games. And the 9-7 win at Michigan was a big deal. And the 87 win at Ohio State was, you know, that doesn't get much bigger than that. And, of course, the one home game, the 85 game, that just still sticks out in my mind. And I think every Hawkeye who's at least over 40 years old probably.
Well, and even more games like that. I mean, the bootleg game against Michigan State. I know you guys played that clip last night. Only two people that knew that play was going to be run in the entire stadium. And that was Chuck, and that was Hayden.
Right.
Nobody else knew it.
And Phil Hattie was there to greet Chuck when he got across the goal line.
As usual.
Phil Hattie had a way to be where the camera was, didn't he?
Absolutely. You know, I'm putting together a piece on the 86 Holiday Bowl, and I don't know if you remember, Mark, but all the post game that night was Hayden Fry talking about he was going to hear out Southern Cal's offer if they wanted to hire him as the head coach. And, I mean, that was big news because nobody wanted Hayden to leave at that point, obviously. He'd had so much success. And I asked Kirk Ferentz about it the other day, and he said that was exactly right, that Hayden did poll the coaching staff to see if they would be interested if USC ever came up with an offer. I don't think an offer was ever made, but there was some smoke there, and that's all we talked about after that game in 86.
Yeah. That came up like a day or two before the game, I think, John, in the LA Times. And I thought it was a manufactured story by someone, but very true, as you're going to document.
You know, there's another time that a Dallas newspaper guy wrote an article saying that Fry would be the next Texas coach or something. This was a Friday afternoon in the fall. Pete Seifer, who was working at Channel 2 at the time, he and I rushed down to the Iowa football office. We had to, you know, we wanted to get a comment from Hayden, and the secretaries were saying, "Now you can't get to him, you can't get to him." All of a sudden, he leaned out of his office, and there he was, and we both clicked on our cameras, and Hayden said, "Just tell the people I'm not going anywhere." But it was classic Hayden, you know, and it was so good. But people feared him leaving because he was so popular.
He did. John Campbell joining us here for a few more minutes at 3:55 on the Gym Class on KGYM. We've been talking a lot about Hayden during the early to mid-80s, building the program, getting the program to lofty heights that Iowa has never seen before. And then, you know, there was a little bit of a lull, but then there was a comeback. And the Gazette had a great picture today of that picture of Hayden being carried off after the Sun Bowl victory on the shoulders of the players. A lot of people don't really remember that when they remember Hayden, but that was a heck of a win because that was the Pac-12 co-champion Washington team. Iowa was supposed to get slaughtered, and that, I think, was one of Hayden's better wins.
Yeah. Pete Seifer emailed me last night. He was down in El Paso, and I guess one of the TV sports guys down there put this big story about, you know, all the Sun Bowls that Hayden coached in down there. And, you know, I think we forget he's such a big name here, but he was big in Texas. His name carried weight down there too. And, you know, it's we're going to miss the old coach, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and all those early morning white knuckle flights that you and Mark took. And
yeah, no, that's fine. You know, another thing we were talking about with some people today, you know how many young people in the state are named Hayden? I mean, it's amazing.
Exactly.
I get big old fish pictures all the time. I'll bet every second or third week I got one or two Haydens in the big old fish collection. You know, his name caught on. He was a fan favorite, obviously.
Kids or dogs, one of the two, John.
Yeah, and dogs too, yes.
No, two people who had dogs that were named Hayden.
You really? Okay, there you go.
But good things. But like we talked about with Bill and a little bit with Gordy, that there was so much more than coaching to Hayden Fry. You talked about the Tiger Hawk and all of the psychological brilliance that he had. The pink locker room, I think, is going to be maybe one of the most telling things that people will remember about the coach.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's one of his legacy things. And he never did anything without thinking it through beforehand. He knew exactly the message he wanted to get across, whether it was to his team or to the public or whatever. He nothing wasn't planned by Hayden. He knew what was going to happen. I remember one thing, this seems small, but it was the first time I ever saw anybody fair catch a kickoff. Andre Tippett did it. There was a little bit of a pooch kick, which is another term that I'd never heard until Hayden brought it up, was a pooch kick on a kickoff, and he fair caught it. And to me, that was a team that was well prepared. They knew what the rules were, and when it happened, he was right there with the play.
Yeah, very much so. Well, John, appreciate it. Thanks for taking time out to talk with us, and keep up the good work, and always good to talk about a great gentleman like Hayden Fry.
Scott and Dixie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thanks, John.
John Campbell from TV9 joining us here. So we remember Hayden Fry. More coming up about the legendary late Hawkeye coach with Todd and Alex. They're going to be coming up next. We're going to have more tomorrow. We're going to take a lot more of your calls and texts tomorrow. We wanted to get in as many guests to talk about Hayden today, and hopefully everybody enjoyed the program out
there.
Yeah,
and thanks to Gordy Bohannon and Bill Happel and John Campbell, three great guests, and it made it a very enjoyable hour for me.
Yeah, it was. And a lot of remembrances, and, you covered them and were around Hayden. And I was lucky enough to not only watch those great teams when I was a student down there, but then had a chance at the very end of his career to cover him and see both ends of the spectrum out there. And a lot of people have said and texted in, and that he, no matter how big or small, just like Bump Elliott, he kind of knew who you were. And that's a mark of a great man, certainly, out there. So Hayden Fry passing away last night at the age of 90. More of the Fry legacy coming up with Todd and Alex. They'll be coming up next. We'll also talk to Kevin Lehman coming up tomorrow as well. And we'll talk on Friday with a member of the USC media talking about the upcoming Holiday Bowl.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KZIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.